Just a small comment on this reading from John. If you remember, whoever wrote the Gospel of John wanted to depict Jesus as the new Moses. So that's why you have all this talk about law. In other words, it's not a Ratzingerian screed about lawbreakers. Rather, the law meant something quite different for Jews. It was a response of love, or it wasn't anything. So, I mean, those people want to hide behind the legalism that is so often and so long marked our church need to take heart from that. Okay. So this is always a special day for me. It is for those of you who are new to this, for the past 40 plus years, on the last Sunday of the Christmas season, I do what Carl Rahner enjoined us preachers to do, which we never paid much attention to, namely to be poets. So I am happy to give way today to a poet, the great W.H. Auden. And his extraordinary poem, which is a play called For the Time Being, and everybody has a part, Mary, the angel, the stars, kings, shepherd, blah, blah, blah. And meanwhile, interspersed with all these speeches is a commentary, a running commentary by a person just indicated as the narrator. And the narrator has the last word. So they've gone through the whole Christmas event, and these are the reflections of the narrator. Well, so that is that. Now, we must dismantle the tree, putting the decorations back into the cardboard boxes, some have got broken, and carrying them up to the attic. The holly and the mistletoe must be taken down and burnt, and the children got ready for school. There are enough leftovers to do warmed up for the rest of the week. Not that we have much appetite, having drunk such a lot, stayed up so late, attempted, quite unsuccessfully, to love all of our relatives, and in general grossly overestimated our powers again. As in previous years, we've seen the actual vision and failed to do more than entertain it as an agreeable possibility. Once again, we've sent him away, begging, though, to remain his disobedient servant, the promising child who cannot keep his word for long. The Christmas feast is already a fading memory, and already the mind begins to be vaguely aware of an unpleasant whiff of apprehension at the thought of Lent and Good Friday, which cannot, after all, now be very far off. But for the time being, here we all are back in the moderate Aristotelian city of Darning in the 815, where Euclid's geometry and Newton's mechanics would account for our experience, and the kitchen table exists because I scrub it. Seemed to have shrunk during the holidays. The streets are much narrower than we remembered. We'd forgotten the office was as depressing as this. To those who have seen the child, however dimly, however incredulously, the time being is, in a sense, the most trying time of all. For the innocent children who whispered so excitedly outside the locked door where they knew the presence to be grew up when it opened. Now, recollecting that moment, we can repress the joy, but the guilt remains conscious. Remembering the stable where, for once in our lives, everything became a you and nothing was an it. And craving the sensation, but ignoring the cause, we look around for something no matter what to inhibit our self-reflection. And the obvious thing for that purpose would be some great suffering. So So once we admit the Son, we are tempted ever after to pray to the Father, lead us into temptation and evil for our sake. They will come all right, don't worry. Probably in a form that we do not expect, and certainly with a force more dreadful than we can imagine. In the meantime, there are bills to be paid, machines to keep in repair, irregular verbs to learn, the time being to redeem from insignificance. The happy morning is over, the night of agony still to come. The time is noon, when the Spirit must practice his scales of rejoicing without even a hostile audience. And the soul endure a silence that is neither for nor against her faith that God's will be done. That in spite of her prayers, God will cheat no one, not even the world, of its triumph. And then the chorus, which is spoken periodically, concludes with, "He is the way. Follow him to the land of unlikeness. You'll see rare beasts. Have unique adventures. He is the truth. Seek him in the kingdom of anxiety. You will come to a great city that has expected your return for years. He is the life. Love him in the world of the flesh. And at your marriage, all its occasions shall dance for joy."